Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right here at News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, and live online at rightsideradio.org. So we're talking about a free and a fair press. Copper, I've got a clip that I hadn't even bothered to ask you to get ready yet, but if you get clip 5 ready and let me know when you got it, we're going to use that. So this is actually, by the way, Representative Hakeem Jeffries, who is not a conservative. And I believe that he was headed down a different road in talking about free and fair press, but he hit on it in a very positive manner by talking about the fact that it is part of the First Amendment. And folks, I'm going to tell you, as you look at this right now, a free and a fair press is so important, because if you don't know what's being reported has been given to you in an unbiased manner, then you just don't know what to trust. And right now we're looking at the fact, I've got a study right here in front of me. Investors Business Daily. This is 2 years old, by the way. November 2018. And it basically says, it starts off by saying, hey, if you ask a journalist, they'll tell you they play things right down the middle. They're going to be fair. They're like centrists. And then it says, sorry, not true. The leftward ideological bias of big media is the main reason why America now seems saturated with what is often referred to as fake news. So fake news was quite a hashtag there for a while. But there's been a number of polls that have been done to substantiate this. Researchers from Arizona State University and Texas A&M questioned over 462 financial journalists in this particular case. And then they followed up with a bunch of interviews. And they went through like people that work for Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Washington Post, Associated Press, all the others. And what they found surprised even them. They found that, like, literally, of all these supposedly hard-nosed financial reporters, which you think about it, financial reporting, how do you mess that up, right? Financials is kind of like math. If you're reporting the numbers are what they are. But it literally said that of the 462 people surveyed, 17.6% called themselves very liberal, while 40.8% called themselves somewhat liberal. What that basically means is 58.5% just about admitted to being left of center. That's a pretty significant margin, all right? And along with that, another 37% claim to be just moderate. So where are the conservatives? Well, they're obviously not in that field, at least not among the 462 that they interviewed. By the way, that's kind of a niche, financial reporting. It's not like there's a ton of them to go out there and find. So what you're basically hearing is the majority of the mainstream sources from which you might get your financial reporting in this case are showing that they are overwhelmingly liberal, or at the very least moderate. But then it keeps going from there. There was a Rasmussen survey in October of 2018 that found that 45% of all voters in the midterms back then, in the 2016 elections, believe that when reporters write about a congressional race, they're trying to help the Democrat candidate. That's a significant bump right there. 45% say, yeah, I'm just watching the news, man. If they start talking about a congressional race, in my opinion, they're doing what they can to help the Democrat, because that's the level of distrust that people have begun to develop with the editorializing of the news. There was another survey done by McLaughlin and Associates, and I know McLaughlin. I know these folks. They've actually polled some of my races. A post-election survey in 2016 of 1,000 voters by McLaughlin found that a forceful plurality, they called it, a forceful plurality, I like that phrase, a forceful plurality, 48%, believe that media coverage is unfair and biased. And even 16% of Democrats agreed with that. I'm just telling you, and by the way, this goes way back. So way back, and Copper, we may have to hold that one because I don't think we're going to have a time before the break. But the reality here is, since 1971, this long-term study they did about what they're calling the drift towards liberalism, in 1971, Republicans made up 25% of all journalists, Democrats were 35%, Independents 32%, but some were just other. But by 2014, the last year of this long-term survey, the share of journalists identifying as Republican has shrunk down to just 7%. That's from almost having what they called near parity in the 70s to now being completely outnumbered by a total of 4-1. Meanwhile, journalists sometimes calling themselves independent has surged to 50%. So what I'm saying here, folks, is You got to have a free and a fair press. And when we come back, we're going to get a little more time on this. What I'm telling you is this. You have got to look for those outside sources. If I had not found that source, the source that I read to you earlier about the Loudoun County, Virginia story, I would not have known that was going on. And it was on the Daily Wire. Why is the Daily Wire doing it and not one of the local media outlets? You heard Ray Melick. Ray was on a few minutes ago. He's solid. This is his career. He knows reporting. And he couldn't even find sourcing outside of the Daily Wire to work with when I sent him the link this morning about that story. You've got to have a free and a fair press. It's constitutional. It's necessary. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're going to come back and keep unpacking that piece, and then I'll be shifting some gears. You're going to want to hear some things that are happening right here in Alabama, for that matter, and around the nation. What are states doing about vaccine mandates? More on that when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you about my friends over at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, so I know all these folks personally. Great people run that company, and they are experts at putting people back to work. If you are a person just looking for a job right now, and there's a lot of folks still looking for jobs, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com, and check it out. They've got jobs, good ones, I mean, with benefits and everything, posted all over the place. And if you are, by the way, an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, well, then again, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They will help you with the recruiting, with all the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, all of it. And they will square you away on getting your staffing plussed up. That's what they do, and they're good at it. ZLA Solutions. They like to say, at ZLA, we don't just make it, we make it better. ZLA Solutions. Check them out on their website, ZLAUSA.com. So listen, I'm talking about this thing about a free and a fair media. Why it's so important. Well, there's a reason why it's important. And there's a reason why it was literally something that was put into our Constitution. And it's so necessary that things get picked up and reported on and not just shoved aside because they don't fit the reporters or the news media outlets' narrative. I am gratified to say, breaking news right now, by the way, 3:37 p.m. here on October the 12th, the story that I told you about a little while ago, the one that came off the Daily Wire and the Post-Millennial to what I would call alternative news sites, is now being picked up as of the last hour on FoxNews.com. FoxNews.com 1 hour ago, headline, Loudoun County father arrested at a school board event says the school tried to cover up his daughter's bathroom assault. All right, and it goes on to talk about exactly the story that I just mentioned to you. So I'm glad to see one of the major outlets has picked it up, but they're having to credit, once again, they're having to credit the Daily Wire for bringing the story to the public's attention. And it literally says, we can confirm. On May 28th, a case that involved a thorough two-month-long investigation was conducted to determine the facts of the case, according to the sheriff's office there, because Fox News called and asked for it. And the case is still pending in court proceedings, the sheriff's office says, and they're not able to provide documents. But what we do know is it matches exactly what was said about this young lady being assaulted in a quote-unquote gender-neutral bathroom where this gender-fluid a guy wearing a skirt went in and raped her in the bathroom. And that is just, it sickens me. It saddens me. And the idea that we had to find out about it because an alternative news media outlet broke the story is wrong. These major outlets, even Fox, need to get their game on. But there's an important lesson here that we have to keep in mind why we need a free and a fair media. And I got clip five. Copper, I think you got it ready now. This is Representative Hakeem Jeffries, who, like I said, is not a conservative, but he at least understands the background of what I'm talking about. Go ahead and hit clip five.
This republic, and clearly it's not a perfect union. We're on the march toward a more perfect union. They never promised a perfect country. They were imperfect themselves, but they clearly understood the connectivity between the free and fair press, our democracy, liberty, and the republic that they were building. There's a reason why the freedom of the press is in the First Amendment, not the 5th, the 10th, the 15th, the 20th, and thereafter. And so I appreciate this hearing and the importance of it to our democracy. It seems to me to be an existential question. Ms. Barr, you testified that the market power of the...
All right. So what you hear there is and that's a Democrat. That's not somebody who is typically going to like the editorializing of a conservative outlet like this one. But nonetheless, he gets it. And he pointed out this is a part of our First Amendment. That's why it was first, not the fifth, not the 10th. And because they recognize the importance. Folks, we've got to have a free and a fair media capable of providing for you the real news. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about government interaction with your media. Sometimes I believe there is government interaction. Sometimes I believe that the storyline of the more liberal side of politics gets put out before anybody else or has better access, gets supported. But I'm also talking about, look at some websites. It bugs me, for instance, if you look back, and I won't name them right now, but if you look back, there's several news sites around the state of Alabama. And if you look back during the last legislative session, when the casino gaming bill was all they could talk about in Montgomery, I mean, it did not matter that we haven't had a tax cut in years. It did not matter that we haven't had any school choice opportunities in years. It did not matter that we had any number of things going on related to the pandemic and the idea that the legislature might want to speak into that issue themselves. No, casino gaming just stole the moment and sucked all the oxygen out of the legislative processes for about 2 weeks. And if you looked at some of the news outlets and you find these kind of soft stories about casino gaming and the bill, you might also look and go, oh, look, the Porch Creek Indians, Wind Creek Casino, they're advertising on their website. Oh, that's interesting. Or perhaps, you know, you may have seen that Victoryland was advertising. Or perhaps you might have seen that one of the online gaming sports betting groups was advertising. You go back and look, I guarantee you, if you could find the archives of those stories, you would find some unusual advertising on those same websites that are reporting the news. And so I don't want to see a news source, even 1819, get bought, if you know what I mean. It's important that they're able to move forward in what we call free and fair. And that's going to have to happen more and more because literally, it's getting tougher right now to find true news wherever you look. All right, listen, that's the deal, man. That's number two in the triple dipper for the day. But we got a lot. We got a lot to talk about still. There's some amazing things happening in some state action against vaccine mandates, and I'm loving it. And I'm loving the fact, by the way, that Texas once again has stepped into the fray. The thing that's bugging me is that we're not seeing the same level of activity by our own Alabama leadership. I want to know where Governor Ivey is on things like what we're about to talk about in a minute. I want to know where our state legislature is. These are, by the way, a lot of these are my friends and peers that I worked with for 8 years in the state Senate. I have not been gone that long. I was down there until 2018. So it's like it's still fairly fresh. I feel like I just left the state house. And it bugs me to think that the legislature is completely missing an opportunity to speak into vaccine mandates and to push back on federal overreach. It's like they don't even want to right now. And they better start bucking up a little bit because, I read you that thing yesterday, the Federalist. All right, so now I'm on number three of my triple dipper for the day. Number three on the triple dipper is the fact that there is some serious state action going on in other places. But the mandates and the COVID issues and the policies being foisted upon us by the federal government in all manner of ways are having a huge impact on our own state. And I'm going to go ahead and take that short break right now so I can gather up my papers and get ready for this next topic. So Copper, go ahead and move us to it. We come back, I'm going to play you a clip about what Governor Abbott in Texas did. You're going to like this, but you're going to find, I know for a fact, a bunch of right side ruffians. I know you people out there. Some of y'all are going to say, when's Kay Ivey going to do that? Good question. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So we're having a good time today. I'm enjoying this so far. Twice, two parts of the Triple Dipper have already gone by. We talked about the fact that we've got to have a free and a fair media. And we've also talked about the fact that cancel culture is being canceled and loving that. But I'm going to head into a different place now. So all the mandates, all the policies, all the federal overreach are having dramatic impacts upon the economy, upon energy sectors, upon the ability to just buy gas for your car. About the supply chain is completely disrupted, and it's having a major impact upon states. And yet, in the middle of all that, the policies that keep coming out have an additional negative impact. It's like, hey, things are bad, so let's make it worse. It's like the Biden administration is determined to throw gas on the fire. Well, how is this impacting your state? And what are some other states doing that we wish Alabama would do? All right, that's the bottom line. Well, let me tell you a couple stories that are happening that are clear indications of what's going on in the world around us, because they're impacting our kids, they're impacting our households. So here's one. This is reported by actually AL.com. All right. So I actually found a story on AL.com I could use. It was dated yesterday afternoon. Title of it is Alabama School District Warns of Food Shortages and Asks for Parents' Help After Deliveries Fail. So I told you about the supply chain being completely jacked up, right? I mean, just completely jacked up. You've got ships backed up off the port of Savannah, but even worse, way out west of the ports in California, like Long Beach, that they've got 70 and 80 container ships stacked out into the waters. And then they've got an unreal amount of containers still sitting in the port storage yards that have not even been shipped out, because the trucking industry and the longshoremen are not all back to work. What the heck? Where'd they go? Well, I guess it's too scary for them to work. Or how about this? Maybe they've been paid to sit at home. Well, how's that impact us? Well, here's one of the ways it's impacting us, this story I just told you about. Alexander City Schools, all right, down in Alexander City, down there on the, that's down near Auburn, I believe. Alexander City Schools has asked parents to start feeding their children breakfast at home or send them to school with a snack because the district has not received food deliveries from their vendors. Incredible. It says they've taken action to open other accounts, you know, with other vendors, trying to diversify their supply chain options. But keep this in mind. They're saying, hey, parents, feed your kids breakfast. Well, part of you, that you may go, well, yeah, feed your kids breakfast. Unless when you consider the fact Alexander City has quite a few disadvantaged kids. 65% of their enrollment is on free and reduced meals, to include very often giving them some type of a breakfast or morning snack because they don't get it at home. And so the supply chain is now disrupting the ability to feed kids at school. And he goes on to talk about the fact that the Alabama schools continue to face food shortages. The pandemic is impacting the workforce needed to serve and deliver the meals, as well as supplies of food. I mean, it's all across the board. It says that every school district in the state is currently facing shortages. Some districts, including Dothan, it says in the article, have even advised parents to prepare for a possible shift back to remote learning due to a shortage in the food supplies. In other words, kids can't come to school and go hungry, so that means they won't get an education, at least not to the same level. They'll send them back home and tell them to log in, and let's see how that works. Well, the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, announced just like 2 weeks ago, it's going to invest $1.5 billion, $1.5 billion to help feed school students. But they have not even said yet how they're going to do it. They've not said how the money's getting out or how they're going to allocate it. And then when asked, Governor Ivey's office deferred any comments to our Alabama Department of Agriculture, which really, when they were contacted, had nothing to add. So basically, ain't nobody saying nothing at the governor's office in Alabama. That's just wrong. Now, what we do have, though, is a situation where you're talking about, okay, so we're short on the ability to ship freight. We're short on the ability to, you know, get those Amazon packages delivered. We're short on the ability to get the ports unjammed and get all of the different, you know, containers shipped out, even to the point that they're starting to tell us, you better do your Christmas shopping now because it's going to be hard if you wait to the last minute. That's ridiculous. And that's all government policies, folks. That is all literally government throwing gas on the fire and making it worse, part of which is vaccine mandates. So the very idea that our supply chain is completely disrupted, but what they're going to do now is they're going to go ahead and say, hey, and let's fire a bunch of qualified people that we need to help ship goods. That'll work. Well, I got a clip for you that I want to play. Copper, I think you got clip 6 ready. And this one, it's not too long, but I want to get it. And then, well, I tell you what, we got a caller coming in. Let me do this. Before we lose time, because I can play the clip after the top of the hour, but I don't want Ray from Madison on line 3 to hold on too long. So let me do this. I'll jump to the phones real quick. Ray from Madison. Hey, Ray, Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm a Right Side ruffian.
Good to hear it.
You know what? I grew up in California, and I knew a couple longshoremen, and unless it's changed in the last 10 years, those guys make a lot of money, and they're not making any money by staying home collecting unemployment. So something just don't smell right there.
No, the whole thing is just shady, in my opinion. And I'm hearing that a lot of it, Ray, is also the trucking industry is suffering for drivers, which I'm thinking, why is that even a problem? They sit by themselves in the cab and drive. How scary can that be? And they were doing it before the pandemic. Where are they now? I don't know. It's
yeah,
weird.
That don't smell right either. My grandpa had his own trucking company in California, and I hear they're hiring, or they're issuing CDLs like crazy. So something just don't smell right.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know. Hey, it just doesn't smell right.
Well, hey, where'd you grow up in California? What part of California, Ray?
Well, I hate to admit it, but L.A.
Okay, well, you know, ain't bad. I lived in Orange County for a little bit, and that was a turbulent time of my life, let's put it that way. But nonetheless, I have been out there. It's a beautiful place. It's just so messed up politically that it winds up dragging itself down.
It's the people.
Yeah, yeah. It's the place.
But it's a magnet for all the refuse of the rest of the country, it seems to be lately.
Well, there's a reason why we call it the Left Coast, I guess. But, hey, Ray, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being a Right Side ruffian and being in the audience. So, great content. And he's right. What's the deal? I mean, nobody can figure this out. Well, how about this? One thing you could do, stop firing everybody who we need to get things moving again. Let's see. Copper, do I have time for clip 6 before we hit to the top of the hour? Or are we going to wait till afterwards? You tell me. What do you think? You believe so? All right. Governor Greg Abbott, clip 6. Hit it, Copper.
Governor Greg Abbott says vaccine mandates have no place in Texas.
Yeah, even though he says the vaccine is safe and effective, the governor's latest executive order keeps anyone from telling you that you have to get it. Erica Zico joins us now. And Erica, what all does this order apply to?
Well, Audrey and Stacia, it appears that it applies to pretty much everyone, governmental entities, local officials, school districts, even private businesses. I want to read you an excerpt of the executive order that lays out the specific measure that the governor is taking here. Quote, no entity in Texas can compel receipt of a COVID-19 vaccine by any individual, including an employee or a consumer, who objects to such vaccination for any reason, a personal conscience, based on a religious belief, or for medical reasons, including prior recovery from COVID-19. The order says it supersedes all other relevant statutes in the state, including those by local officials. In the order, the governor says vaccines have always been strongly encouraged, but that the Biden administration is, in his words, quote, bullying private entities into imposing mandates. Right now, this is an executive order, not a state law. He's asked lawmakers to pass a law of this nature during this third special session. If they do, his order will be rescinded. Erica Zuko, Ken's 5 Eyewitness News.
All right, folks, that was local news in Texas because I wanted to go something local. All right. I wanted to get the local flavor on it. And when I Thanks, come back, I'm going to unpack this for you. What does it mean when the governor steps up and actually does something to tell the federal government, I'll be your huckleberry, and to stare them down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of that when we come back.